Saga Egmont presents The Terror of Tannery Lane by M.R.C. Kersassian. Read by Emma Gregory.
Chapter 1. Fear and Death in the Night Storm. It was a dark and stormy night. The teeming rain was lashed into my face by violent gusts of wind. My saturated coat hung heavy. It sagged and clung to my dress, which wrapped around my lower limbs. "I told you to wear your aquascutum," I scolded myself, but I had never been adept at listening to my own advice. Another gust and my umbrella blew inside out. Botheration! One glance told me that the spokes had snapped. Blimmid thing! Giving up trying to re-erect it, I rammed the mangled remains into a waterlogged bin of ashes. Doubtless both would be taken for scrap metal and rags. There were few things in that wintry autumn of 98 that somebody would not collect in the hope of scraping enough money together for food and shelter. Hand on hat, water running down my sleeve, I paused under a lamppost at the curb. The road that ran around the perimeter of Seraphim Square could have been mapped as a sizable river, and I was not convinced that my short calfskin boots would protect me, nor that I would not be swept off my feet.
"May I help you over, little girl?"
A man materialized at my side. I could have corrected him that I was a mature woman and entitled to be addressed as Milady, but that would have been ungracious in the face of his gallantry. The gaslight flickered wildly, throwing us into grotesque shadows. But the flame was not extinguished. "That is kind of you."
"Not at all."
The stranger tipped the brim of his bowler.
"I am going in that direction anyway."
I hesitated. His face was muffled in a balaclava helmet, as were many others in this inclement weather. He spoke well, though, and was attired respectably enough with his ebony cane and sodden ascot coat. But I had nearly met death on more than one occasion at the hands of those who I had previously believed to be gentlemen. "Do you think it is safe?"
"I have forded swollen rivers in Himalayan gorges."
The stranger raised his voice against a squall.
"This is a mere trickle in comparison."
He projected his elbow as if escorting me to dinner, and, thus reassured, I slipped my arm through the triangular gap.
"Take my cane,"
he proffered.
"It will give you extra support."
Gratefully, I accepted.
"Ready?"
Looking at the dark, rushing stream, I was far from happy with my situation. However, there was not much choice. I had been visiting my friend, Hetty Granger, and stayed much longer than intended in hope that the storm would die down. Unfortunately, it had worsened. She had offered me a couch in her studio, but when she was called out to visit a sick niece, I decided to take my chances. Hetty would be away until the morning, so I could not return there, and the prospect of a night in the open was not an enticing one. Besides which, I was almost home. A light shone in the sitting-room window of Brake House, on the other side of the road, and across a wide pavement. I took a deep breath. "Ready!" And off the curb we stepped. That was our first mistake. We had not taken account of the gutter that ran along the edge of the road, and we found ourselves submerged, almost to my knees. "Dalmatian!" I cursed. My boots filled immediately.
"Steady,"
the gentleman said, and I was not sure if he was encouraging me to be careful or reprimanding me for my canine expletive.
"Slippery, these cobblestones."
He skidded a few inches sideways to illustrate the point, and I braced myself against us both falling. "We should get better purchase on the road," I forecast. "The stones have been tarred."
"Good."
He stumbled out of the gutter, clutching my sleeve, and it occurred to me that so far it was I who was assisting him. There had been letters in the Monfort Chronicle about the surface not being properly cambered, but the problem was rather more serious now than the puddles about which they had complained. We were still about.